At this time, it's our blessing to have Larry and Catherine Carlisle with us, and their daughters Christina and is it Linda? All right, I got it right. And we're just thankful that you're able to be with us this night, and we look forward to hearing Brother Larry give us a report at this time. We turn it over to you, Brother Larry.
Good evening. It is a privilege for us to be back here. It's been a long time. We were sharing with somebody before the service that it's been 7 years since we were here. It was in 2001, and we arrived late for that service. We came from another church in the morning, and there's a lot of traffic. We got here after the service started, and it was kind of hectic trying to get the table set up and the slides and everything. But today, we were able to get here a lot earlier, so that's been nice. But it's a joy for us to be back here because you as a church have been very faithful throughout so many years in the support of our family and our ministry in Spain. We've been in Spain for 15 years. The church actually started supporting us, I believe, a couple of years before that even, while we were still on deputation. So from the deepest parts of our hearts and from those people in our church in Spain, I would like to say thank you. Because our ministry in Spain would be impossible without God using people like you to give and, even more importantly, to pray. And that's another thing. Two or three people before the service came up to us and told us, I've been praying for you for so many years now, and it's nice to have you back here. That is an encouragement and a joy to our heart. It's a blessing that a church supports us financially. But it's even more of a blessing when a church supports us in prayer. Because believe me, we depend upon it. When you're in another country, you don't have a whole lot of contact. Of course, now with email, it's easier. But you start realizing when you're in a situation like that how much you depend upon the prayer of brothers and sisters in Christ. So we praise the Lord for the opportunity he's given us to be back here this evening. My wife, Catherine, is down here along with our two youngest daughters, as Pastor Matt has mentioned, Christina and Linda. Our two oldest daughters are not here because they're in Bible college. They both attend International Baptist College in Tempe, Arizona. Katie is a junior this year, and Lisa is a freshman. So our family is going through that transition time when our kids are leaving home. And it's been strange for us on this furlough to travel just as a family of four. We've always traveled as six. So it's been a change for us. But we praise God for what he's doing in and through our two oldest daughters there in college. And now it's just the two others at home that we still have the joy of having at home with us. As I mentioned, we've been in Spain for 15 years now. And I would like to take a few minutes to show you the DVD presentation that we have to let you see some about the country of Spain and some about the ministry there. And then afterwards, I'm going to be giving you some more information about what the Lord's doing there in Spain at this time and what the plan and prayer is for the future. And I'll be sharing some prayer requests with you. Let me say this before I start that, however. On the display table, and please take advantage of those 15 minutes or so between the service and the business meeting to come out and talk to us. But out there we have some prayer cards. Now, these are the same prayer cards that we sent to the church 3 years ago and that you have a stack of in the, whatever, in that rack out there, you know, with the prayer cards. It's the same prayer card because we made this 3 years ago. We were not here in Ypsilanti at that time. We were primarily in other states. But it's the same prayer card. If you have it, you don't need a new one. But if you don't have this one, please pick it up. The picture is 3 years old. However, the picture that's in the presentation here and that's on the display table is a newer picture. We took this picture just in January of this year. So you can see the difference between the girls in these 3 years. But pick this up and pray for us, please. Also on the back, you have the email address of each member of the family. If you would like to send an email to any member of the family, there's the address. Also, we have a web page. We try a couple times a month to update that page with prayer requests and praises. So go on it now and then, and you can see what's happening between the times that our prayer letters get out. You can see what's happening in the ministry. There's also pictures and videos of some of the activities in recent years. Or recent months. So take time to look at the web page whenever you feel like it. And our goal is for that web page to be a means of staying in touch. So you know what's happening on a frequent basis, instead of every 3 months just when the prayer letter comes. So you know what happens now and then, and you can be praying more effectively for that ministry. Also on the table, we have some bookmarks. Feel free to pick one of these up. There's different colors. It just has our name on it and the name of the town that we're in, Rota. There's also a verse in Spanish. If you do not know Spanish, don't worry. You will not have any difficulty figuring out what verse this is. I promise you. Okay, just take a look at it, and you can figure it out even without knowing a single word in Spanish. I think we'll go ahead and show the presentation now, and then afterwards, like I said, I'll share a few more things about the ministry. Join us for a few minutes as we take a look at the mission field of Spain. Spain has a long and fascinating history, a history that dates back a few thousand years before the time of Christ. Civilizations and people groups have come and gone throughout the years. But today, Spain is a country known in part for its many festivals or fiestas. For example, Carnival is a fiesta similar to Mardi Gras and is celebrated at the beginning of Lent, and is a time when literally almost any activity is permitted. Another popular fiesta is the annual fair held in almost every town. The people will dress up in their traditional costumes, and many will pass the entire night celebrating. The southern region of Spain is especially known for its great variety of fiestas. Many of the Spanish fiestas are tied in closely with the Catholic Church. For example, during Rocío, many people from all over the country will make a pilgrimage to a site in southern Spain to celebrate a fiesta that is over 800 years old. In many respects, the Catholic Church is the center of social life in Spain. And whether it is the large and ornate cathedral located in Seville, or the smaller cathedrals and churches located in each town, life revolves, to a great extent, around Catholicism. Perhaps the most famous Spanish fiesta of all is Holy Week. During this time, each church brings out its large images of Mary and Christ to parade them through the streets. Many of the people will follow the images at all hours of the day and night, in the vain hope of receiving forgiveness from God. For others, however, it is just a tradition. Matter of fact, 19% of Spaniards today consider themselves non-religious. Of the 45 million people living in Spain, probably more than 44.5 million do not know Christ as their personal Savior. Will you pray for the country of Spain? Praise the Lord, there are some churches preaching the gospel in the country of Spain. In the little over 30 years that Spain has been open to the gospel, several churches have been started throughout the country. The majority of the independent fundamental churches are located in the Madrid and the Barcelona metropolitan areas. But even more churches are needed in these areas since they are the two most populated regions of Spain. The rest of the fundamental works are scattered throughout the country, with vast regions and large cities still without any fundamental witness of Jesus Christ. One of the churches preaching the gospel is located in Rota, a coastal town of 30,000 people located in southern Spain. And until just recently, it was the only fundamental Baptist church in the province reaching the Spanish people with the gospel of Christ. The church in Rota is called the Iglesia Bíblica Bautista Fe, the Faith Baptist Bible Church. For most of the church's history, very few visitors ever came out to the special activities and services. And even after having announcements on the local TV station and in the newspapers, hardly anyone would ever come. It was almost impossible to get visitors to come out to the church. However, that began to change in 2006. In that year, the church celebrated its 25th anniversary, and after much prayer and hard work, the church saw around 35 visitors come out to the special service. Then in November of the same year, Alonso and Melly wanted to renew their marriage vows now since both were saved. The church auditorium was packed with their family members and friends, and they all got to hear the gospel that day, many of them for the very first time. A month later, the church held a musical celebration of Christmas, and again, many visitors came out. For Christmas of 2007, the people in the church did a simple play emphasizing that true joy only comes from knowing Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Approximately 20 visitors attended that special service. And finally, on Good Friday in 2008, there was a special dinner and baptismal service, and 25 to 30 visitors showed up for that also. What has made the difference? Why are more people coming out than ever before? Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." The church members in Rota have an increased burden for their own people like Paul did for his. For example, Paca got saved many years ago, and partially because of her testimony, her husband Manolo got saved. And now the church is praying for their other family members, like their daughter Elena. Mercedes accepted the Lord in 2005, and she has brought out all three of her unsaved sisters to some of the activities in order to hear the gospel. After many years of coming to the church, Melly put her faith in Jesus Christ. Her husband, Alonso, has since gotten saved, as has their son, Emmanuel. And other family members have also heard the gospel. Please pray for the members of the church in Rota as they continue trying to reach their family and friends with the gospel of Christ. And pray for those who have heard the gospel, but as of yet have not trusted in Christ as personal Savior. Please pray also that the Lord would raise up a Spanish pastor for this church. And finally, pray for us, the Carlisle family. Hi, I'm Larry Carlisle, and the Lord has given our family the privilege of serving Him in Spain since 1993.
Hello, my name is Catherine, and I homeschool my girls, and I also help with the ladies and children at church.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and I am currently studying at a Bible college.
Hi, my name is Linda, and I was born here in Spain.
This is Katie. She is currently a student at International Baptist College in Arizona.
I'm Christina, and my family came to Spain when I was a year old.
As a family, we covet your prayers that God would use us for His honor and glory, and that He would do a mighty work among the Spanish people. Thank you for your prayer support for our family and for the ministry in Spain. Now the eyes have to get adjusted to the light. Okay. The work in Spain, and through all of Western Europe in particular, is very slow, and most of the fundamental Baptist churches are very small. We have some missionary friends that have been in Spain for 15 or 20 years, and until just recently had 3 or 4 Spanish people in their church. And even the larger fundamental Baptist churches today that may have 70 or 80 or even 90 people, have the pastors and the missionaries have told me they have like 2 or 3 Spanish people. The rest are immigrants from South America. It is a very slow, difficult mission field. We need for God's people to pray. As you've seen in the presentation, little by little, somebody does get saved. And what a joy that is. Our baptismal services are a time of joy. Because whenever we see somebody get saved and make a decision to follow Christ, and then they give that public testimony through their baptism, it is a joy for the entire church, and it's an encouragement to everybody. So keep praying for us. Keep praying for the ministry there. As I mentioned toward the end of the presentation, pray about a national pastor. That is the burden upon our hearts at this time. Our job is not to go there and be the pastor of a church in Spain the rest of our life. Our job is to go there and start churches, train nationals, and see them become the pastors of the church. I'm the third missionary pastor in this church, and I have no interest in turning it over to another missionary someday. But the prospects, humanly speaking, are very slim, very few of them. There's very few young men in Spain preparing for the ministry. So pray that God would give us wisdom, and pray that he would work. Pray that he would place his hand upon some of the young men in that country, and that they would surrender to him for the ministry, and that someday, within a few years, that church in Rota would have its own pastor instead of an American missionary pastor. So please pray for that. Pray for us as we're on furlough. We're back here for a 3-month furlough. Somebody mentioned earlier that that's pretty short, but all of our furloughs have been short, just usually 2 or 3 months at a time. And pray for us as we travel. We've been here a month already. That's hard to believe. And so far we've been in Pennsylvania, down to Virginia, up to Massachusetts and Rhode Island, back to Pennsylvania, then New York. Today we're here. Next Sunday we'll be in Colorado. The following Sunday, the following couple of weeks, we have 2 mission conferences in the state of Arizona. And, of course, there we'll get to see our 2 oldest daughters in college. From Arizona, we travel through Texas and over to Florida to see my wife's family and spend time there and also preach in a supporting church. Then up to South Carolina for a meeting, then back to Pennsylvania, then back to Massachusetts, back down to Maryland, back to Pennsylvania, and then we leave for home on November 5th. Okay? So all of that is between now and November 5th. Please pray for us as we travel that the Lord would give us safety and that he would use us to be a blessing and encouragement in the churches that we minister in. Also pray for our support because the drop in the dollar, as you're well aware, I'm sure, all the missionaries, American missionaries in Western Europe, have lost between 40 and 50% of their buying power in the past few years. And you know, that's like taking a 50% pay cut at a normal job. And all the missionaries have been hit. The Lord has supplied our needs. We've not had to come back to the States for a year of furlough like some missionaries have. We had bought a house back in 2001, and 4 years later, the Lord moved us to sell that house. And with the profits of the sale, we were able to renovate the apartment above the church that the church owns. And now the church allows us to live there free. We pay the monthly utilities, but nothing else. So that has greatly reduced our monthly expenses. By doing that and other things, we've been able to reduce our expenses. We've been able to stay on the field. But even with all of that, our support right now is at about 86%, or maybe 80. Actually, 2 supporting churches have just changed it. Some others are considering taking us on. I'll say around 88%, more or less. So pray for our support level, that the Lord would supply there, and that some of the new churches we're in on this trip would be able to take us on for support if it's the Lord's will. But one thing I know, whether or not another church takes us on for support, the Lord will supply. He always has, and he always will, and there's no doubt about that. So pray for that, and pray for the church there as we're gone, because there's no pastor. There's different missionaries and pastors coming in to preach on a Sunday, but there's no pastoral care taking place. So just pray that nothing would happen during our absence and that the people would stay strong in the Lord. Any other special requests I should mention right now, Kathy? I'm trying to think through, and I think those are the major things. So keep praying for us. And again, afterwards, if you have some questions, we would love to take the time to try and answer your questions so that you know better how to pray for us. And again, there's always the email. You can send us a note, and we'll try and answer it as soon as possible. Open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I promise I won't take too long. I know you have a business meeting coming up. I'm sure nobody's interested in being here until midnight tonight. 11 o'clock's okay, though, I'm sure. No, I know. Don't worry about it. Don't get up and leave now. I forget who put this glass of water up here, but thank you very much. I've been having throat trouble for the past several days, and this is going to be a blessing. Hopefully I won't need it too often, but it is a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity you've given us to be here. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us and for how you use us in our daily lives. We thank you, Father, for saving us. We thank you for providing for us and taking care of us. We thank you for the privilege that we have of being called your children and of knowing you as Lord and Savior. And I ask, Father, at this time, that you would just bless the preaching of your word and that you would open our hearts and that we would listen and respond to what your Spirit says to us. Use me, Father, as an instrument in your hands at this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I get into the message, the one thing I wanted to emphasize again that I mentioned in the slides is the fact that throughout the history of the church there in Rota, we could not get people to come out. No matter what we did, people were scared to come out. They were scared to set foot inside the church. And some people still are. Well, in some of those special activities, there'll be some people who come and they'll realize it's an evangelical church. I did not say new evangelical, okay? An evangelical church, and they'll stay outside the doors. But as I mentioned in the presentation, in the past couple of years, we've had at least 5 activities where 20 to 30 different visitors have come. Until a couple of years ago, that was unheard of in that ministry there. And the Lord has worked, and people are coming now, large, not because of advertising. And it's not because of passing out tracts. Or it's not because of having pamphlets or posters. I'm trying to think of the word. Posters around town. It is because many of the people in the church, I wish I could say all, but I can't, but many of them are saying, I don't care what my family says. They need the gospel. And they are going out and inviting their family members, and their family members are coming, sometimes not completely aware of what's going to happen necessarily. They don't know that the Bible is going to be preached or anything like that, but they come and they have heard the gospel. And we praise the Lord for that. More people there in Rota, Spain, have heard the gospel through that church in the past 2 years than in the previous 25 years that church had been there. Pray for those people, that they would come to the point of placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Not too long ago, I was reading a story about a college football coach, or somebody that had been a coach at the college level. And years later, he explained that he gotten married for the sole purpose of comforting the mothers of the boys coming to college. Because he wanted to be able to tell the mothers, hey, your son can come to our college, you know, I have a wife and she's going to help, and as a family we'll be like parents to them there on campus and everything else. And he got married primarily just to kind of help his college football coaching career. After a few years coaching on a college level, he became a coach in the NFL. And the season has started again, hasn't it? I don't know if this man is still a coach in the NFL or not. So I don't even know his name, just the story. But soon after becoming a coach in the NFL, he divorced his wife. When somebody asked him, right, you know, you've been married for so many years now, why are you getting a divorce? His answer was, she's a distraction to me. I need to be devoted to coaching my team. And now I don't have to tell mothers, well, your kids are coming to college, and, you know, I'm married, my wife will help us, and we'll have a family atmosphere for them. Now at the NFL level, she's a distraction. I have to be devoted and totally dedicated to my coaching career. And that's sad. It's not unheard of, is it, nowadays? Where the man or the lady, one or the other, or both, will be so dedicated and devoted to their career and to their life that their family means absolutely nothing. Now, I've never been a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. If you are, forgive me, but I never have been. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, okay? But Tom Landry used to say that his priorities were God, family, and then football. Praise God for that. Unlike this coach that I mentioned, who was saying his wife is a distraction to him, so he divorced her because he wanted to be so dedicated and devoted to his time and give all of his time to coaching the team, Tom Landry was different. But in truth, throughout our lives, we have to examine time to time, what is the object of our devotion? What is really receiving our time and our attention and our efforts? To what or to whom are we devoted? And this all came to mind because I was reading Psalm 119 recently, and actually I was looking for something different than what the Lord gave me. You know, sometimes that happens. You're reading God's Word, and you may have another thought or something you're looking for there and something you're studying, and then boom, you know, God gives you something, and it appears totally out of the blue. But He gives you something to encourage your heart or to work in your heart sometimes that you can share with others. And I was reading through this psalm, and from time to time, I like going back to Psalm 119. It's a beautiful psalm. 22 sections in here following the order of the Hebrew alphabet. Each section has 8 verses. And for example, in the first 8 verses, each verse in Hebrew begins with the first Hebrew letter of the alphabet. In the second section, verses 9 through 16, each verse begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The poetry here and the style here in Hebrew is amazing. But even much more than that, as we read through Psalm 119, there is so much here showing us the psalmist's love for his Lord and the Word of God. For that reason, time and time again, I like going back here and reading these 176 verses of this psalm. And recently, as I was going through here looking for something in particular, the Lord made a certain phrase stand out in my mind, or stand out here to me. And it's that phrase that I would like to emphasize in a few minutes this evening. Because in our lives, whether we're in the full-time ministry, whether we work as a mechanic, whether we work as somebody in the factory, on the assembly line, or whatever our area of lifetime ministry and work is, we have to stop now and then and evaluate our priorities and our devotion. Because as we see here in this psalm, we need to be totally devoted to knowing God better. Do you know Him as your Savior? Obviously, that's the first step. When I was 8 years old, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Has there been a time, a definite time in your life, when you could say, I accepted the Lord at that time? Now, you may not remember the date. You may not even be sure of the year. But do you know that there's been a time like that? A time when you accepted Him and He saved you from your sins? We have to know the Lord. But here it speaks something even more than that. Look in verse 2. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with, what does it say? The whole heart. Now, what does it mean to do something with the whole heart? What does that mean? Help me here. Okay, help me. Come on. With all of your being. Other ideas? 100%. Not 50%. Not just say, well, okay, I'll do it if I have to. No, 100%. Something else.
Through to the finish.
Oh, very good. Keep on going all the way to the finish. You have to do it. But that's the idea here of doing something with all of your being, with every ounce of your being, applying all of your energy and being totally devoted to something. Where that football coach I mentioned at the beginning was devoted more to his career as a football coach than even to his family, let alone to the Lord. Which is so sad. But how many times in our lives, because of the distractions, because of the busyness of life, even in the ministry, that knowing God better is kind of pushed aside? Oh, I'm not saying we say, well, okay, I'm mature enough, I don't need to grow spiritually. We don't say that. We don't mean that. But because we're so busy, because we're so active and thinking about so many other things, it's easy to become distracted from knowing the Lord better. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 3 that his goal was? That I may know him. Paul was saying there, I'm willing to give up anything in my life, all my achievements, all my goals, all of my priorities in life, so that I may know my Lord and Savior better. It's more than just saying, okay, I know the Lord as my Savior. But it's knowing him personally. Having that intimate relationship with him. It is so easy, even studying for the ministry or being in the ministry, to become wholly devoted to the ministry. Now, I'm saying this from my point of view, from my perspective, from my experience, sad to say. Whether it was studying in Bible college or in seminary or being there on the mission field, you get so involved in doing the things of ministry, studying God's word, preaching it, but it's so easy not to continue growing in your own personal life. And yet, the psalmist says here, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. So in verse 2, he says, blessed is the man who seeks the Lord with his whole heart. In verse 10, he says, I'm blessed because I'm one of those people. Now, the psalmist is not claiming to be perfect. But he's saying, I have tried with all my effort in my life to be devoted to knowing God, to spending time with him, to seeking him. In all the things that we have to do in life, we have to remain totally dedicated and devoted to know the Lord. Don't let other things become the priorities in life above him. But not only do we need to know the Lord, we have to be devoted, give our whole being, our whole heart to knowing him, but we also need to be devoted to his word. Look at verse 34. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my, what does it say again? Whole heart. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my, help me, whole heart. Do you see what he's saying here? With my whole heart, I sought the Lord. I've tried to get know him better. And then he says, and part of that is being devoted and with my whole heart, following, knowing, and observing his word. Actually, the two go hand in hand. Is it possible to really grow spiritually without the word of God? No. Now, it is possible to study the Bible without knowing him better. It is. There are many great commentators, I mean, people who've written about the original languages and the history of the Jewish nation and can help us understand something in the Bible better, and they spend hours and years studying God's Word, but sometimes without even knowing God. Be careful. Because knowing the Lord, loving Him with all your heart is the priority. But to do that, you also have to love His Word. To spend time in it. To be wholly devoted to it. Not just reading it. Not even just studying it. But where the Word of God is dear to you, like it was to David. What does he say later on in the psalm about the Word of God? That's sweeter than the honeycomb. That's more precious to him than gold and silver. In ministry even, it is very easy to, how should I say this? Not follow closely God's Word. This has been my experience sometimes. Some men in our church who love the Lord, I have no question about that. They're godly men. They love Him. They want to serve Him. But there have been times when they have given me counsel about how to do something there and what I should do and some type of decision I should make. And I know that what they're telling me is not what God's Word says. For example, just a quick illustration of that, our church there in Rota has never become legalized with the government because the government requires now that you have around 50 members in the church. So we're still underneath we still use the fiscal number of another church there in Spain. And sometimes when I've talked to a couple of our men about, okay, you know, or they bring it up, what can we do to try and move this through and become legalized here in the country and recognized by the government? And when I say legalized, I don't mean that our church is illegal. It's not. But recognized by the government. Because right now we're paying over around $1,500 a year in property tax on that building you saw. If you're registered with the government, you don't have to pay that. So these two men have told me at different times, well, you know, we can get anybody's signature. Let's just go down and get anybody's signature on, you know, some of the neighbors around here, some of the other people, and, you know, we say they're members of the church. No big deal. Everybody's doing that. But hold on. What does God's Word say? Would that be honest or dishonest, saying that those are members of the church? And I'll be honest. I've wanted to do that. But you see what I mean? Either by the counsel of good people or by our own desires, it's so easy sometimes to not faithfully follow God's Word. But in this day and age, everybody does it. That doesn't mean that we should do it. What does God say about it? There's not time. If you continue going, and I challenge you at home to continue reading Psalm 119, because he speaks about being wholly devoted to seeking the Lord, being wholly devoted to observing God's Word. He also speaks about being wholly devoted to pleasing the Lord in verse 58. And in verse 145, he speaks about being devoted to depending upon the Lord, to crying out to Him for help. But the Christian life is not a life of just going to church, being a member of a good fundamental Baptist church, saying some beautiful hymns, listening to the preaching, even going home then on Monday morning and reading a chapter in the Bible, Tuesday reading another chapter, or Wednesday night prayer meeting, yeah, be out there. Thursday visitation or whatever visitation may be, yeah, go out on visitation. True Christianity is much more than all of that combined. Are you with your whole heart, seeking to know God better? Is that the top priority on your to-do list? In all the activities and affairs of life, are you seeking to know Him? If you are, then you're also devoted to His Word. To knowing what it says. What does it say about the family? What does it say about marriage? What does it say about the church life? What does it say about how I should do my job at work? Being wholly devoted to this book, God's Word. That's what I mean when I say from time to time, and I don't care what area of life or what job we have to examine ourselves. Because I know from my experience, in the ministry, on the mission field, that it's very easy to become more devoted to the ministry and to the affairs of this life than it is pleasing the Lord. Let's be careful of that. This completely, with the whole heart, with 100%, unto the end, with all of our being and our effort, seek to know God better and seek to know and follow His Word better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this passage in Psalm 119. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon this psalm and remind you of what Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said when he wrote in a book that his father encouraged all of his sons to take one verse from this psalm and meditate upon it each day of the year. And with 176 verses here in this psalm, a person could go through this psalm like that more than two times every year. But going through and meditating just upon that verse, because the psalm is so deep, it's like a mine that we just have to dig into. And I pray, Lord, as we meditate upon this psalm and upon the entire Word of God, that You would help us continually examine our lives to see if we are truly, completely devoted to You and to Your Word. Above all else, You have to be our love. Your Word has to be precious to us. Help us, Father, to examine our priorities, not just today, but day after day. And as we continue through life, in whatever stage of life that we may be in, as a young person, as a new parent, or a newly married person, or with grown children, or with grandkids, or whatever, help us, Father, to on a regular basis examine our priorities, to see again if we are wholly devoted to You. We ask all of this in Christ's name.